was a Vietnam vet with a cardboard sign, sitting there by the left turn line, flag on his wheelchair flapping in the breeze, one leg missing and both hands free. No one's paying much mind to him, the VA budget's just stretched so thin, and now there's more coming back from the Mideast war. We can't make it here anymore.
Does anybody remember the peace dividend? People all over the world want the United States to take a leadership role in cleaning up fossil fuel emissions before we lose this livable climate. Our next guest, Bruce Gagnon, says America has far different plans. Instead of converting the economy, the military-industrial complex will war its way to control over the world's energy through domination of space. Bruce Gagnon is a senior fellow at the Nuclear Policy Research Institute and coordinator of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. Find that at spaceforpeace.org. Bruce, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Yes, hello. Good to be with you.
Well, you're connected now to an environment crowd, people who know the score about global warming and scarce oil. I noticed in an article last year you boiled it down to this stark choice, global warming or conversion of the military-industrial complex. What did you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is all evidence points to the fact that we have to have very quickly a new, whole new orientation about how we run our societies, because virtually everything we do in our industrial societies is oil-based. And it's going to take a massive, massive investment if we're going to save the planet, essentially, and save life for the future generations. We're going to have to massively invest and change the way we live and everything else. And so the question then becomes, where is that money going to come from at a time where, just in my country, in the United States, we're seeing the Pentagon controlling over 50 cents out of every federal tax dollar. And the Pentagon saying that in the coming years, our role under corporate globalization in the United States will be security export. And they lay that out, meaning that we're going to be out there fighting endless war to control the resources of the world, the oil, the diminishing supplies of water, markets, things like that. And so, and just in recent days, friends in Canada have told me that your country has dramatically increased its military spending as well, and will very likely be cutting back on things like national health care and other social programs. So this model of the United States becoming the military arm of corporate globalization is growing. And we know that the Pentagon is also saying that in order to literally control the world, they're going to need space technology to do that, which they say will be the largest industrial project in the history of the planet Earth. And so we know, too, that the United States is now going to our allies in Canada, in England, in Germany, in Italy, in Australia, and Japan, and saying, you know, this thing's going to be so expensive that we, even the United States, can't afford it by ourselves. We need you to come on side with us, help us pay for it, cut your social programs as well. So the question then becomes, how will any of the industrial societies really be able to afford to dramatically change our footprint when we're investing more and more and more money in military production?
Well, I should tell listeners, you have a couple of very compelling videos out on YouTube and on your own site. One is the movie Arsenal of Hypocrisy, the space program and the military-industrial complex. That one is just downright scary. Everyone should see it, I think. But I was also moved by your passionate speech at the Veterans for Peace Convention in Seattle in 2006. That video on YouTube was real education for me. I want to tell you just for a second why. The thing is, a couple of weeks ago, I did a program on capital flight, how the super rich and the corporations are pouring their money into tax havens instead of paying taxes to help build their home countries. Well, after hearing that Seattle speech, I just felt so naive. As things now stand, Even if we get the wealthy to pay their fair taxes, those billions won't go to create new green jobs or save the climate, will they?
Well, you know, there's so many dibs right now on that money. Every politician in America who's running for office these days is saying, well, you know, when we get in there, when the Democrats get back the presidency, we're gonna start taxing the rich again, and they're going to pay for everything with it. They're going to pay for health care. They're going to pay for education. They're going to pay for home heating assistance, retooling the infrastructure, you know, roads and bridges and everything else. So there are so many dibs on that money now that I can't imagine how there's going to be much left to do anything in a big way. Just the other night I was watching a speech by Obama from Montana that is just getting ready to hold its presidential primary, and he was saying that he wanted to use this money to invest in green jobs. He said, I want to spend $100 billion over 10 years. Well, we're right now spending $12 billion, the U.S. is spending $12 billion a month in Iraq. Well, that's $144 billion a year. And he wants to spend $100 billion over 10 years on green technology, you know, solar, wind, rail, tidal, all that stuff. Well, that's not enough. That's not a dramatic change. That's a very incremental change, much too slow to deal with the reality that we have facing us today.
We're talking with Bruce Gagnon, a longtime anti-war campaigner. You can find his blog at spaceforpeace.blogspot.com. You know, in your movies about the military plans, you also point out that space itself is really a very sensitive environment. We hear about protecting the Amazon or Antarctica, but not the space around this planet. What are the environmental problems out there?
Well, it's a very important point, and it's one that the environmental community is paying little attention to. Right now, there's all kinds of space debris or space junk up there, so much that it is all tracked on the big radar screens by the Pentagon, big radar tracking devices that are measuring even things as small as tiny specks of paint. And they say it's gotten so bad now that the International Space Station that's being built just above the planet Earth, on a couple of occasions they've had to move it because space junk was coming dangerously close to it, and they thought it would actually destroy the International Space Station. And the Pentagon is now saying that it, and scientists are saying that it won't be much longer if we continue the way we're going, that we will create so much space junk that we literally will not be able to get a rocket off the planet Earth. It will be entombed to the planet because it will be like a minefield above the Earth, so much space junk orbiting the Earth. But in spite of that knowledge, the Pentagon is still going forward with plans to put weapons in space, to destroy other countries' satellites so that the United States military can control and dominate space. Also, there are nuclear devices in space launched over many years by the former Soviet Union and the United States. Many of these are going to tumble back to Earth in the coming years. Some of them, these military satellites powered with plutonium, some of them powered with uranium. And when they tumble back to Earth and they burn up on reentry, guess what? The deadly toxic materials on board are dispersed as basically dust across the planet to be inhaled by the people. And then on top of that, the U.S. space program has plans to dramatically escalate the number of launches of nuclear materials in the coming years. They want to have nuclear-powered mining colonies on the Moon and Mars. They want to have nuclear rockets with actual nuclear reactors for engines, taking spacecraft out to Mars, because they say nuclear reactors will cut in half the amount of time it'll take to get to Mars, will allow them to lift more weight to carry larger payloads for eventual mining operations. And then the military has long been saying that to power lasers in space, orbiting battle stations, they would need nuclear reactors. And so the nuclear industry views space as a new market. Well, routinely rockets have about a 10% failure rate when they're launched. So imagine a whole host of these nuclear launches over the years to come, powered or carrying nuclear devices on board. this is a grave, grave danger. So we've got to begin to look at a space as an environment that needs to be protected from this bad seed of war and greed and environmental degradation.
You know, I heard a recent interview you did on a libertarian program, the Scott Horton Show, out of Austin, Texas, and I came out of that one thinking, my God, we all believe the Cold War madness of a nuclear holocaust is over. That's behind us. But you say the nuke missiles are back on hair triggers again. Talk to us about the American threats to China and Russia and how they are responding.
Well, today the U.S. military is surrounding Russia and China. In the case of Russia, Russia has the world's largest supply of natural gas, and they have very significant supplies of oil as well. It is the intention of the U.S. military to try to essentially take control over Russian resources, because obviously we understand that whoever controls the fossil fuels around the earth, especially as they begin to diminish, they will control the keys to the world's economic engine. So today the United States, through NATO, is expanding NATO eastward, building bases further and further and further into the former Warsaw Pact or Eastern Bloc countries, essentially now moving right up along to the border of Russia, wanting to now build NATO bases in Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, right on the Russian border. At the same time, the United States is beginning a military encirclement of China, because the United States military intends to, quote-unquote, manage China, according to an article in the Washington Post a couple years ago. And so today, missile defense systems, as they're called, really nothing to do with defense at all, but they're part of the U.S. offensive first strike technology program underway, under development. These systems are being deployed in South Korea, Japan, likely will be even put into Taiwan if the military gets its way, and throughout the Asian Pacific region. And also at the same time, on China's inland border, the United States, since 9/11, has built 6 permanent bases in Afghanistan. And so this military move is underway today, and it's, again, a very expensive one. And they are taking and robbing the National Treasury of the United States in order to pay for this massive mobilization of a military around the world in order to control Russia and China.
You know, it's so sad to hear this about America. I mean, I'm not an American, but I've lived in the country and I've worked there. I've traveled every one of the 48 states. It's just a fantastic country with a lot of great people. Everywhere you go, you meet great people. And I think people around the world want to love America, but the snow job coming from the U.S. military is just mesmerizing. And it feels to an outsider like me that some sort of, I don't know, corporate military coup has taken over a good people and is misusing their power. What's your take? What is their game, if we had to sum it up? What's their game plan for this planet?
Well, I think your analysis is right on. It is a corporate takeover. It's a corporate coup d'etat. The corporations run our country. They run the government. They control the Congress. And they do it because it's all about maximizing their profits. Corporations are moving their jobs out of the United States so that they can go overseas to places like China or Indonesia or India so they can maximize their profits. They don't care about the American worker anymore. So I think you shouldn't hate the American people. You should hate the American government, if you will. The American people are extremely frustrated because they see our democracy being drowned right before our very eyes. We work so hard in the peace movement and in the environmental movement and other movements in this country to try to change policy in Washington, and we are over and over and over again beaten down by these corporate powers. And people have become, in many respects, dispirited as a result of this. They just don't know what to do, because everything that we've been taught about how you change policy in a democratic society has literally been taken away from us. The media is now under the control of these same corporate powers. So their agenda internationally is control and domination. I basically call it 21st century feudalism. This time, though, we get a car, we get a color TV, but it's feudalism from a corporate perspective. And I think this is not just happening in the United States. When I talk to my friends in Canada, and when I talk to them from Japan or Germany, recently I was in France, they told me the story about how the newspaper Le Monde had been bought up by a French weapons corporation. This corporate takeover of our governments and the drowning of our democracy is a international problem, and the only response that there can be must come from international organizing, where we support each other in our campaigns. No organizing anymore, I think, can just be national. All of our campaigns have to become international, just as we see on global warming and climate change. People are organizing internationally, because if you don't address the issue internationally, you don't get anywhere. And so the corporations are really moving away from the nation state. They're taking the power and centralizing it internationally, and we've got to respond to them by our own international efforts. And so that's why on the space issue, we have this global network against weapons and nuclear power in space. We recognized some years ago that we had to internationalize this issue about space technology if we were ever going to stop it.
I'm Alex Smith with anti-war activist and Space for Peace campaigner Bruce Gagnon. Bruce, we're starting to run out of time, but, you know, my other impression from the Scott Horton interview was your call for a lot of different groups to wake up and start acting together, you know, whether we're environmentalists or anti-war activists, labor leaders, libertarians, animal rights. It doesn't matter. We all have the same common problem that threatens to ruin the world. Do you see signs that these divisions are starting to break down and people want to work together?
Not enough, I'm sad to say. You know, in my country, I don't know about Canada, but the environmental community feels they have some relationship to, let's say, the Democratic Party in our country, real or perceived, I'm not sure. But many environmentalists will tell us privately that they agree with us on everything we're saying about the military. It's getting too strong, it's getting too much money, but that they don't want to publicly say anything about it because it would put them being critical of the Democrats, who are slavish to the military-industrial complex. And they say that would affect their relationship, their good relationship that they have with the Democrats on environmental issues. And so many environmentalists then, while privately they agree with us and they're our friends, publicly they don't want to be associated with us as we call for the conversion of the military-industrial complex. But we're saying there's not going to be any money to deal with the environment, to deal with the real challenges of climate change, unless we take on this issue of this military control, this military dominance of our culture. Just recently in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the base commander at Kirtland Air Force Base, this is a base that's in charge of developing the space lasers for war in space, the base commander went and met with the business community, had a luncheon with them, and he said, you know, we're having a problem. The Air Force budget is taking a hit because of the very expensive social programs, called Social Security and Medicare, which is health care for the elderly. And he says, you know, we're going to have to get those programs under control. Basically, it means drain the swamp so that we can move that money into the Air Force budget. And so we've got to begin to ask senior citizens and labor unions and environmentalists to show more courage to come out and begin to talk about this predominance of the military-industrial complex in our country and literally around the world.
What should Americans be doing with their tax dollars? What is the better dream for us all?
Well, I think that's one of our jobs, is to put out a positive alternative vision. You know, as jobs are leaving the country, as corporations are moving jobs out of the country, who is going to create good jobs in America, if not the government, doing things like building a rail system? You know, if you've been to the United States, you know we don't have much of a public transit system in America, and we need one if we're going to deal with the effects of climate change. And so imagine if we were to convert our weapons industry plants to produce a rail system connecting every corner of the United States of America. Imagine the jobs that would be created. It would be massive. The same goes for a solar society. Why can't we be putting solar, at least water heaters, on every house and business in the country? Where I live in Maine, solar works even here, too. So imagine Florida, Texas, Southern California, Arizona, New Mexico. Imagine a solar society and imagine the jobs created doing that kind of thing. Recently, I drove through Kansas, and there was just a massive amount of wind. In fact, they call it the Saudi Arabia of wind. Well, why couldn't there be a windmill in every single little town in Kansas? Imagine the jobs created building those windmills. So this is the kind of things that our dollars should be used for rather than building weapons for endless war. But that isn't going to happen unless there's a unified demand made by, again, the peace movement, the environmental movement, the labor movement, the social justice movement, all who would benefit from this kind of reorientation of the American economy. We'd see peace. We'd see environmental change. We would see more jobs for the labor unions. We'd see more social justice as more people were working and coming off unemployment. It would benefit all the movements. So this is a demand that has to be made over and over and over again until the American people begin to make it their own.
Well, it seems impossible, but it has to happen. This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. You have just had a taste from more than 30 years' worth of relentless campaigning for a safer, more peaceful world from Bruce Gagnon. He's coordinator of the Global Network Against Weapons and Nuclear Power in Space. Bruce, tell us quickly about your websites, your blog, and where to find your videos.
If you go to our website, which is spaceforpeace.org, spaceforpeace.org, in the menu, there's a section called Space Videos, and there you'll see, as you said, our documentary video called Arsenal of Hypocrisy. I highly recommend it, and I urge you to get other people to watch it as well. You'll have a much greater understanding about the plans that are now underway, and also, as you said, there are a number of my speeches in there from recent events that you can watch. At the same time, on our website, if you just scroll down a little bit, you'll see the link to my blog called Organizing Notes, where I basically tell stories from the day-to-day work. I do a lot of traveling. I tell stories of my traveling. And one can also order my book called Come Together Right Now, Organizing Stories from a Fading Empire. You can order that from the website as well.
You have heard it here. Educate yourself while you still can. And thank you so much, Bruce Gagnon, for all your dedication.
Thank you, Alex.
We opened with James McMurdy. We can't make it here anymore. Here is Mr. Sam Cooke. Speak to us, Sam.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. But I know a change gonna